Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Lies here from Real Good Wrestling Podcast. We are back for a special episode recapping SmackDown. The whole crew's here today.
What's up?
I'm making a sound in the arena.
What up?
Yeah, that's the sound of the arena.
Go, no. Lexi. Go, Lexi.
Exactly. Everybody looked at her like, who is
Nikki Cross?
Why are you clapping so hard?
Man, this episode of SmackDown, if this is something that we foresee, Raw is going to be emanating from the PC on Monday, and AEW is going to be doing their show at the Daily Palace with no audience neither. So this is what we're going to see Monday and Wednesday for both Raw, AEW, and NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
Man, it's pretty interesting.
Okay, I don't know what the thing is in Orlando, but right now I think you guys probably saw Dallas was declared a state of emergency because we had 5 cases pop up.
Right.
We can still have gatherings as long as it's less than 200. It's 250 people or less. Why don't they just get like 200 like producers, Hall of Famers, wife of the family, and like build a crowd with something for Monday, because you need something. This was good for a one-off, but you can't keep this going.
Well, I mean, if it's anything for AEW and NXT to see in Raw, it would be good. I think they're trying to keep everybody safe, so I think that's why they're keeping everybody away and only keeping the need people. If you saw, it was only Michael Cole and Triple H on as part of the as ringside announced team.
No, did you not see when they showed Triple H and Michael Cole on commentary? There were people in the back working out.
It's the announced team, though, is what he said.
There were people in the back working out.
Yeah, I saw that. So, I think they should at least have the NXT crowd in there for like the NXT. Everybody's at the performance center in the crowd, just to add a little bit of spaz to it. Even though you're gonna recognize a couple of people,
but I mean, you can keep your heels on one side and your face on the other, and have the face do the face thing and the heels do the heel thing.
Yeah, you can do that. It's just it's a learning experience for them. This is the first time they've ever had to do that, with the exception of the Rock versus Mankind match at the empty stadium. But as far as live production of an actual match, this is the first time they actually had to do a live on there. So
I'm just blocking all of Moises' smoke from coming to my.
Let's kick it off. Opening segment was Alexa Bliss and Nikki Bailey. Cross.
Yep.
And Nikki Cross versus Sasha and Bailey. Sasha and Bailey came out talking mess, started bothering the announced team, which was Triple H and Michael Cole. Triple H is playing great to the camera and siding with them for a second, and it was a funny way to start off SmackDown. It did feel weird just seeing nobody there. I'll let y'all give y'all thoughts on it.
What I really liked is when Bailey and Sasha won the match, Asuka came out and interfered, obviously. Did her little dance to no reaction because there was no crowd. But when Triple H was like, man, Asuka, she had to run through the crowd. And then when Bailey was like, Hunter, where's Paige? And he's like, Michael, where's Paige?
Yeah, Triple H played pretty good on commentary, especially that opening segment.
Yeah,
my favorite part of the match when Nikki Cross was like, Lexi, Lexi, Lexi. Like,
so funny.
Ain't nobody there.
Everyone kept playing to that too. Like, what are you doing? There's no crowd. Sasha's like, what? I don't hear anyone. Oh well. And then she started to beat on Alexa Bliss.
That was a good spot, though.
They played it off
pretty good. They played it. It shows how much their professionalism is. I enjoyed it. The opening segment was nice. Backstage interview with Kayla Braxton afterwards, when she was about to bring Jeff Hardy out, and Shinsuke, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn came up. And she was like, y'all are not the ones getting interviewed.
And he goes, Sam was like, oh, well, normally I'd be upset.
But the best line
was, you know what? I'm a champion. She hosts so I'm the good. Bomb. So, what? So, what?
So Kayla Braxton, she was like, you guys got bumped, and her show is The Bump on the network. So I thought that was like a little cool insider joke.
I didn't even catch that.
I mean, yeah, that was probably funny.
One of the 60 viewers.
Hey, I heard The Bump is very entertaining. It is.
The way they started off at times is pretty cool, and then the way they bring the superstars on, the little cameos that they have is pretty cool.
And Kayla Braxton looks like $1 million, so I would watch her all day.
Anyway, before we get banned, before we get bumped, let's move on. Jeff Hardy showed up, and he's like, I feel better than I ever have. Kind of talked about how he's, you know, improved his life, blah, blah, blah. And who should come on screen but the King, Baron Corbin. And he had to cut a little promo and... A little edgy for a second there.
Yeah, he started talking about Jeff Hardy's walking the line, basically doing the whole alphabet.
Yeah, I kind of popped for it, but at the same time I was like, ugh.
That was damn near break kayfabe. So interesting enough,
before we actually leave the skipped, there was a little bit of a botch, I guess you could call it, during the Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross versus Bayley and Sasha. They showed where, like, I guess they went to commercial break and everybody stopped wrestling.
Oh, really?
What? I didn't see that.
I didn't see that.
So, yeah, no, it showed it on video, and people on Twitter were going off about it. One of the viewers actually posted it on the link that I shared. So there is a video where, like, they went to commercials and the wrestlers just stopped wrestling and just started taunting each other in a sense.
The show, I'm willing to give that a pass at this point because
it was their first time and it's the only entertainment on TV that's like athletic right now. So let's let it go.
My feelings on this are like this. The way I see it, they did something positive to, and a lot of people on Twitter were praising WWE for doing it, for actually running the show. They did something to try to entertain people in this time of chaos. So I respect it and I like it.
Yeah, we kind of skipped past Triple H's opening, but yeah, he mentioned, please just take your mind off of everything going on in this world and let us do what we do best as WWE, put a smile on your face. So, and they did good for them on that.
I like how they did this also. I mean, I love how, and honestly, something like this, they can actually capitalize off of, you know, particularly with the, you know, and it just shows behind the scenes, like you said earlier, Liz, how professional they were as far as they kept the show going and such. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then they replayed the Elimination Chamber match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. They showed us replay of the match, and then they afterwards, the Miz and Morrison were out there cutting a promo on the championship.
I like the replay being shown because it'll get the casual viewers more behind Otis and Tucky, you know. So I like that they did that.
Tucker.
Yeah.
Tucky.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was what you told me was like 20 minutes that I could, you know, I could skip over because I had to rush this guys to. Get on this, but
cool story about Otis and Tucker. I was listening to Rosenberg's podcast, and he said he met Otis for the first time. He was talking to Big E, and Peter Rosenberg were talking, and Otis walked by, shook hands with Big E, and Peter's like, "Hey, Peter Rosenberg, big fan," and Otis rubbed his head and yelled out, "Petey!" So he's like, the guy's living the gimmick. So that's awesome.
that's fuck Petey. I love Otis. Otis is great. But
Before I forget, before that was the Roman Reigns interview with Michael Cole as well.
Oh yeah,
that promo was decent. It basically, my favorite line was from Roman Reigns, was that, "Hey, I do this 365. I live breathe for this. Goldberg's a part timer, and my job is to make sure that the title where there's no part timer holding the title. So
yeah, and kind of a heelish line when Roman was like, Goldberg went to Georgia. I don't even know if he knows how to operate a bulldozer.
Yeah, that was a funny line there too. And I mean, Roman Reigns went to.
Your wife is hilarious. She said you're dropping a mixtape.
I just saw that.
Hey, you guys know I have a rap song on YouTube. If you can find it, you gotta look hard though.
I'll be sure to not do that.
No, I appreciate you. I appreciate the love.
I appreciate. No, you're supposed to say I love you.
I love you.
There we go. No more mixtape though. We're off the mixtape. But yeah, the Roman Reigns thing. Roman Reigns thing was. I mean, it was an interview.
I like Roman sit down interviews with no crowd better than his promos. Like when Raw got snowed in and they did the whole Roman and Brock backstage. I really liked that as well. Oh, Melissa, the reason I liked it is because I think Roman's more comfortable with the crowd or with no crowd there.
I think she means, why is there no more mixtape? We're way off the rails of the show, to be honest. But reason is because we all know Elias can't get his words right. He didn't even know how to pronounce people's names on this show.
Dang.
little TSU UAPB jabs here.
Hey, Elias, who's the big guy on NXT that Keith Lee's about to feud with again?
Donovan Dijelback.
Dijakovic.
All right.
I really hate y'all right now.
All right,
I'm pretty sure my wife is laughing her ass off.
Y'all should focus.
Dang.
Yeah.
All three of us gonna, link up. Where were we at? I don't know. Something about
Roman Reigns.
The Roman Reigns interview.
You have anything on that, Kristen?
Honestly, I ain't got nothing on that Roman Reigns interview. I'm just gonna say that it was, when he sits down on an interview, it sounds a lot better than when he is in the crowd. So. That's all I'm saying about that.
Could be beneficial to him to not have a crowd reaction because people don't know if they're going to cheer or boo him in this.
Well, it seems Roman Reigns has a mixed reaction like John Cena, which is a good thing that he's playing off the boo and the cheers thing like John Cena is. So that's a positive thing. So, I think Goldberg's going to be the heel on this one, and Roman might actually get over if he wins this one.
Quick match. I don't want this match to be longer than 7 minutes.
I say it's going to go 15. They're going to do it like Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg at WrestleMania 2 years ago.
What? That went like – didn't that match only go like
15 minutes?
Pretty long.
Oh, shit. I was there and it didn't seem that long. Okay.
Yeah, because there was a spot when Goldberg speared Brock Lesnar through the barricade and a couple of other spots that happened. But yeah, it was a longer match than usual for them too.
Yeah.
Anyways, Daniel Bryan versus Cesaro was actually a pretty entertaining match, in my opinion.
Oh, what led to the match that was set up earlier?
Yeah, what led to this was Sammy came up to Daniel Bryan, laughed at him, and was like, I asked you to join my group, and you mocked us, and now you're asking this nobody to help you. And then Drew Gulak getting in Sammy's face. Sammy, if this is the way they're going to go, and maybe eventually if you have Drew Gulak be Sammy's first challenger, even if Drew loses, that crowd will get behind him because Sammy's so good at what he does.
Yeah, and the way that they actually set it up, how – Daniel Bryan went up to Drew Gulak, and Drew Gulak was walking away, and Daniel was like, wait, hold on. I thought I knew everything, but you literally had a counter for everything that I did, and literally it put Gulak over in a sense as well to make him really like, hey, this guy is talented. So
on the lookout for me.
Yeah, so it did give a rub off on Gulak pretty well, and Going into the match, it was a nice technical match from the start. Nice fast-paced match, and it basically Bryan won, and then Sami Zayn and Nakamura started beating down Daniel Bryan after the match, and Gulak came out for the save.
Yeah.
This is a good little match. I mean, look, yay.
One of the decent matches I liked on there.
I wonder what they're going to set up, because is it going to be Sami Zayn versus Drew Gulak that's getting set up here?
I think it'll be a one-off, but I think the way they're going to go is Miz and Morrison versus Drew and Daniel.
My wife was actually watching the beginning of SmackDown with me, and she's right. Like, the weird part of it was when they did the close up on all those empty chairs.
Yeah, but he can't let that camera go. That camera, you know, switch. What's his name? The freaking producer.
Bruce Pritchard.
He cannot let those shots go. Like, there's really nobody to cut to, and he's still cutting cameras. It was weird.
Yeah, but, and I'm gonna talk about something I noticed in the Jeff Hardy match. That we'll get back to it, but yeah, what was next after this, Elias?
Actually Jeff Hardy versus King Corbin.
Oh yeah, so Elias was on commentary with Triple H. Before this, something happened. We'll go back to that. I'll talk about that after. But yeah. It ended with Corbin strumming the guitar to distract Baron Corbin. Triple H is saying, man, you're so bad at playing the guitar, you're costing Baron Corbin the match. But one thing I noticed in this match was they went to the outside, and there's that weird camera angle of the producers. You see them in the back. You literally see two producers who aren't even watching the match. Like, you see two backstage guys not even watching the match. You're talking to the other producers.
Right. Yeah, I saw that.
Just behind the scenes stuff. Behind the scenes.
Hey, sure. Like, when you see them walking away, yeah.
And what I got from this was Triple H, like, as much as people are like, oh, they don't know what to do with Elias, Elias is always in the same spot. When Triple H gets more control, Elias is going to get a bigger push.
You know what else? I agree. Sorry, I was going to mention real quick, because I found it funny how Triple H brought this up. Earlier, he goes, I guess it was right after one of the ad breaks, but he said, you know, I'm the only guy that can get demoted in a company and get more work. Go figure. I wonder who came up with this idea. And he was just joking about the fact that people kept saying he got a demotion in this company.
So a little bit of wrestling news added to that. Triple H got a new title a couple of days ago. He's basically now focusing on NXT and what's going on there. He has the same responsibilities. It's just that he's more focused on NXT now, trying to grow the brand, trying to grow, get deals. I know they're currently working on securing the Performance Center in Japan. So,
And then they said India is next after they figure out Japan.
I think his job, I don't think it was a demotion based off of the way they described it. I think it's just basically he's getting a separate part of the company all to himself now.
Yeah, no, they really believe in Triple H in pushing NXT. So, and they enjoy the stuff that he's doing. With the things going on right now, I think by the end of the year, we'll probably see Triple H back in another role. Or by the time Vince McMahon retires, he'll be...
Vince ain't retiring. He's going to die on that chair.
Oh, another... I think we briefly touched on it before, just talking about Vince retiring. I'm kind of worried now, too, because XFL canceled the rest of the season.
Well, a lot of analysts are saying this is a good thing.
Yeah, they did.
And
Steel is going to pay their employees and players and all that great stuff. They're still going to pay them their base pay. So
my problem is that means he's going to be more involved in the shows now. And Raw has been doing really good with Heyman on board instead of having you know, Vince showed up the past couple of shows because of the situation, and they kind of weren't as good. So it, how much more involved is he going to be, and how much will that hurt the shows in some cases?
I mean, technically, he's all he gives the final okay regardless. For everything. So, I mean, obviously, there's some ups and downs of what's been going on. It's just, I think at this point, they just need to trust Heyman on what he's doing. He's doing a great job at what he at running Raw. And Bruce Pritchard's doing a good job working with what he has on SmackDown.
What a lot of producers are saying, the best part when Vince isn't there is you don't get a last minute script change, you know?
Also, so it's not in there. And that's the worrying part to me. Like, you know, but we'll see what happens.
So something we skipped over. Something we skipped over, Mojo joined Michael Cole and Triple H, and they talked about the Gronk thing, and he got super hyped to where his headset almost fell off. And then
get hyped, Cole.
He was like, "You hype, Cole, you hype?" And then afterwards, Triple H is like, "You didn't have to call him out, your man. I could have told you this." But Mojo's another dude. Like, people crap on him because he's not, you know, Daniel Bryan in the ring, but dude's entertaining.
No, dude, by all means, Mojo Rawley has that entertainment factor on him. In-ring wise, he still needs a little work, but regardless of that, he's doing a great job at what he's doing.
And I want to tell a quick story about Mojo. I worked security for Access when they were in Dallas, and I actually worked it for Bailey. But before she came out, when they gave us our little huddle, Mojo was walking around. This was when he was still in NXT. Mojo walked around and talked to every security guard, like everyone working security, and like just gave us like a little hype speech, took a photo with us, even though we aren't allowed to take photos with the superstars. Like, Mojo didn't care about that. Like, he was doing his thing. Really good dude.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Where were we at in the show now?
King Corbin versus
Jeff Hardy. We talked about Jeff
Hardy.
The Cena main event program.
Main event?
Yeah, that was the main
event. There was nothing else, yeah.
No, I said, you just want to go to that?
Yeah, let's go to that. I think it was an awesome main event segment.
Elias? Yeah, no.
Yeah, that was a pretty decent promo.
John Cena and Daniel Bryan have that chemistry, and even when they were doing the program with the Wyatt family, that chemistry's been there from the get-go. For John Cena to just basically, you know, take responsibility and basically he put over the Fiend.
I'm gonna disagree. I think he tried to bury him. He was like, "Why are we giving an opportunity to Bray Wyatt? Why are we calling him the future when it's his fourth, fifth, sixth chance? When there's people like McIntyre, Rhea Ripley, Velveteen Dream, and they're the future. Remember?"
Yeah.
Well, yeah. In a sense, it was a burial, but at the same time, it kind of put him over, because at the same time when Bray came out, Bray did a good job.
Before we get to that, what irritated me a little bit, which he was like, "Why are we giving Bray a fifth, sixth chance when McIntyre, this is his like third or fourth persona in WWE too?"
Yeah, kind of. They're kind of trying to forget the past of Drew McIntyre.
But you showed that video a couple of weeks ago where he was in 3MB.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cena's also he took the time to kind of correct a lot of people's misconceptions about him also. You know, everyone thinks he's got all these shots, and yeah, he has gotten quite a few, but he's like, "Hey, look, I got buried by Brock. I got beat in 5 minutes. You know, I lost to this match."
Yeah, I remember that.
He counted at least.
I lost to the Rocket on it.
Yeah, he counted quite a few. He goes, "And nobody ever said that I was being buried because they knew my character." So yeah. He's like, you know, yeah, he can cry all he wants, basically. But at the end of the day, it's because people know his character, his like personal character, is not as good as it should be.
And then out of nowhere, you see Bray Wyatt sitting in one empty seat in the crowd. And he's like, he starts laughing and gets in the ring and says, he cuts his promo along the lines of, "No, you know, you made me the Fiend," basically. And he had a couple of great lines on here. What do y'all think of Bray Wyatt?
I think it was a great promo by him.
Right.
It basically, the way the Bray Wyatt's character has evolved from when he first made his main roster debut, I can see where he's coming from, because after Bray faced John Cena, his character went on a roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. So yet you can tell why he's going back to, you made me, you made the Fiend, because once John Cena beat you, he went into this roller coaster ride where he had his ups, he had his downs, and it all led up to this. If you think about it, when he debuted the Fiend, he went after everybody that has had a storyline with him, Daniel Bryan, Finn Balor. Basically, he went through everybody who's done him wrong, and
even like, Braun, even though they didn't have a match, he attacked Braun a couple of times. Kane. Yeah.
Kane, the legends and stuff like that, you know, people that doubted him when he was Bray Wyatt. So it fits in perfectly to this storyline. And, you know, for the people are like kind of like complaining about the Fiend's character. But I mean, to be honest with you, you know, he's done perfectly in evolving his character from the start. Like he's managed to link his past to what he is now. So I enjoyed the promo. I enjoyed how they faced off at the end, and it was just like that. Let me in and just end it SmackDown on a positive note.
You know who would have been money for Bray Wyatt to attack and God rest his soul? Man, Roddy Piper would have been perfect. Like if he interrupted a Piper's Pit or something.
Yeah,
because you know if Roddy was still here, you know he'd still be appearing. Like he'd
be down
on and off. Yeah, mm-hmm. And. You know, just take a mandible claw. Like, I know Piper would be down for it. Like, that would have been awesome to see. But, yeah, man. That was the end of SmackDown.
Yeah. I kind of liked the segment. It was pretty interesting. Y'all got my live reaction. So, y'all saw
it. Yeah, we saw Angel watch it live. Yeah.
I genuinely did like it. And the thing that put it over for me was Bray Wyatt in this empty stadium. Now, you could tell everyone else was still kind of off-put by it. Wrestling wise, you know, there was some like a little bit of sloppiness to some of the matches, not too much. A little bit of like weird reacting. The way Roman came out and said, "Yeah, this is kind of weird, but oh well." But Bray, you know, like, treated this like it was just the same. The way he was acting, the way he reacted, the way his promo was cut, he helped. I love the way he promoted it.
But you know what I'm going to say about the sloppiness, like. It's hard to go out there and perform in front of your boss. Oh. Triple H is right there behind the table. Yeah, like.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some cuts where, you know, during the women's match where Triple H had the biggest smile. He was so proud that they were putting on the show. You know, yeah. It was kind of cool to see stuff like that. So.
And all of them are his kids, literally. Yeah. Like when you look at Bayley, Sasha, Asuka, Nikki Cross, and Alexa Bliss, they all went through NXT developmental and graduated and went to the main roster. You know,
he named a lot of people. He named Baron Corbin. Halfway through it. He named Bray Wyatt. Like he trained a lot of these guys that were on this show, in particular.
And. He didn't name him, but even the back and forth with Elias, like he gave him a little rub, you know, like mm-hmm. That's awesome, especially because Elias was one of those characters that didn't get over in NXT. He got over on the main roster.
I don't know if y'all caught the little segments where he was actually on holding the camera.
Yeah.
You're like, well, we're short staffed. And he was actually recording. And then when he was actually applying makeup on Michael Cole as well.
That is awesome.
But see that you further know alive. Triple H say he's that damn good. We mean it. He's doing everything behind it.
Shit. One thing I'm gonna say going forward, and y'all let me know if y'all agree or disagree with this, with the no crowd thing. You have Saturday, Sunday, and all day Monday now. You can test as many people as you want. You can test as many of the talent, as many of the backstage guys, whoever, you know, hopefully. Hopefully no one is, you know, infected, but you can get everyone who's tested negative, you can get them in the crowd for it.
Yeah, I would love to see just the wrestlers in the Performance Center be there. But due to the concerns of actually, you know, getting people testing positive or stuff like that, I can't understand how they're going to probably do another empty show. But if they do the Performance Center people there, then I wouldn't complain either.
Because Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell's test only took a couple hours. So WWE, yeah, with all the money they have, I'm sure they can test like 50, 60 of their talents and get it done. Today, what they could have done, you know, like obviously they wanted to give this empty arena thing a shot, but you had the 205 Live guys there, you know? So you could have done it with them. But yeah, hopefully get some of the NXT UK guys that are in the country, and then get some of the 205 Live talent in the crowd, you know, just for some reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Overall.
Yeah, I agree with Moist, because my thing was, this should just be like a one time only thing. Now, if y'all want to capitalize on it and maybe do like a little segment such as this, like on Backstage on Fox.
Well, Backstage is canceled.
Backstage is canceled.
What I'm saying is in the foreseeable future, because I did like, I mean, even though it was kind of weird with no audience, it did bring a lot of attention as far as viewers and all that great stuff.
Well, yeah, and the thing about it is they got to play it safe as well. So there's no telling, right, what they're going to do on Monday and Wednesday. The same thing goes with AEW. When you look at them, they're going to do an empty show at Daily Palace as well. So
it's not, we'll, it's limited. Limited people are allowed in.
No. They announced that it was going to be an empty stadium.
When did they say that?
Because earlier today, I believe, yeah.
And everyone's posts have said there will be limited participation. Could be off.
Because
we'll find out.
Ever since they announced that their bans and locally, it's been they changed their mind and put empty stadium. That was from directly from the AW Twitter account.
Okay. I might have just missed it. I was very busy today at work.
But
yeah, you went all the way to Tampa.
Nevertheless, well, Angel. Nevertheless, I'm not.
I came to Tampa, as everyone can see, to check on the stadium.
Yeah, you was all the way. Looking
good.
He's sanitizing the stadium for us, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah, I came all the way over here. I was in this
in the nosebleed.
Are you sanitizing all those seats as you're sitting on them?
No, they're gonna be straight as clean as I can be. That's it. Just the soap that I use at home. That's all I can use.
Dude, but this is getting crazy. I went to Walmart today. I couldn't find any frozen pizza, no canned foods, no paper towels. Then I went to Dollar Store and 7-Eleven, and they were completely stocked.
Speaking of, I mean, overall, we'll stop talking about the show. I mean, I think it was a pretty average show. The promo was great, though. Chris Don, what's your kind of rating?
I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to actually give this show a B.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a B, and let me tell you why. Because even though it was kind of weird, I like how they was able to capitalize off of this. You know, like I said, WWE, they were very creative as far as how they were going to do this. I've been watching wrestling since I was in the sixth grade. I'm 33 years old. This is the most weirdest thing I've ever seen. But I will say this, though. They continue to do it. I'm going to say it again. Something like this, how they did this, I wouldn't be shocked in the foreseeable future. WWE Backstage have like one of those empty chair, empty arena matches, like a little one little segment there. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I don't think Backstage is going to do that. Backstage is more of a talk show.
I hear you, but I'm saying, but in the PC, I ain't going to say something like this needs to be done all the time. I'm not saying it at all. Heck no.
What he's trying to say is something like maybe you have a contract signing on Backstage and it leads to a brawl throughout or something.
Yeah, I can see
that's
that.
That's what I'm after. Yes.
But back to AEW at the Daily Palace. So, you know, the city of Jacksonville issued a ban for large scale gatherings. So it's just I hate saying this name, but Dave Meltzer reported, and this is true because he's an AEW mark.
Big Daddy. No, he's not. He likes good wrestling. Big Daddy Dave.
No, he's a mark. He's AEW mark. But he's like, just a note from AEW, Wednesday show at Daily Palace is still on. The things are having to be worked out as far as details go, but it will be a without fans. So they are.
Go ahead. What's your rating?
I give it a B. I give it a B as well.
Elias, you think?
I give it a B. It was a good show for given the success that they were presented, and they showed a lot of good things that they can be done without an audience. So hopefully ratings wise, people tuned in to SmackDown this week.
I will say I think it pops your rating too.
That's what I was getting at.
The John Cena part itself should have popped, and you know, we'll see what happens though. Because it was kind of, by part of the way the reactions were, since there's no crowd reactions, excuse me.
I will say, Angel, you had us muted while I said this. Monday, I'm debuting a new gimmick where I'm going to start rating all the matches, and I'm going to be the new Meltzer.
Nobody's the new Meltzer.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can do that.
I'm just going to give every match I think he's going to give 1 star to, I'm going to give 5 stars to. Like when they have Jack Ryder versus Riddick Moss, I'm going to give it a 5-star match.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
And then I'm going to cut that clip, and I'm going to send it to Jack Ryder and Riddick Moss and be like, look at me supporting you guys.
Yeah. they'll make a joke for you, I'm sure.
I don't understand.
Anyway, that's all the thoughts I think we have on the show, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much it. Either way, good show for the circumstances given. We'll see how Raw and NXT and AEW perform on next week. I read in the news that Tampa might actually be pulling the plug on WrestleMania. They're going to meet with Vince McMahon and them next week and talk about the whole situation, depending on how everything goes. Next week, we'll find out if WrestleMania is actually canceled or not. So,
yeah there's already talk, too, about Walter and Finn is not going to be able to happen at all. They confirmed because Walter's not able to leave the country, obviously, from the UK where he's at. So, they literally can't have this match.
I think that's a good thing because you can build that TakeOver Dublin with it.
Yeah. So the other part of it too, because of all these matches, I would want to mention support indie wrestling if you can. If any of y'all out there watch or you have any local shows, I know you guys don't like these guys, but Wrestle Talk is actually also doing a full free show with Will Ospreay. He's actually going to be involved on it on YouTube, completely free. If you can donate, that's all that they're doing to pay all those guys. But it's going to be
Will Ospreay. Who said I don't like Will Ospreay?
Wrestle Talk is what I'm talking about. So Will Ospreay is actually fighting B. Priestley to help these guys put on a good show to pay some of these promoters or pay some of these indie guys. So support them too.
Yeah, this did do a lot for the indies, and it's affecting a lot of them. People like Miranda had to cancel shows in
UK.
The UK, and then a lot of people that had to travel out of the country had to cancel. A lot of wrestlers, like Sami Callihan, of course, said there won't be in Jordan Grace. They weren't going to be performing due to that concerns. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Braun Strowman put out a message saying, "Make sure that you take care of yourself." And even like people like Rebby Hardy and the Hardy Compound, they're taking this seriously. So. You know, stay safe out there. Make sure that you wash your hands. Make sure that you're not doing stuff you're not supposed to do.
I'm gonna be a guiding light here, because I know we don't have a crazy crowd, you know, but every once in a while I say something and it happens. WWE. I don't know if y'all are ready for this, but this is coming from a guy who's been watching the product for over 20 years now. A guy who had the ticket to Mania and TakeOver. And you probably think I'm going to tell you the show must go on. No. I'm going to tell you something that I think will help everyone involved. Push it to Memorial Day weekend.
They're going to do something.
You push it to Memorial Day weekend. You have that Monday off from Memorial Day weekend. The 1 month ban is over. more than anything, I feel for the WrestleCon people. Like, all those indie wrestlers are going to miss out on the Shining bonuses, on the picture photo op bonuses. People like WrestlePro, WrestleRev, TNA was going to do a one-night-only thing there. Push it to Memorial Day weekend. I think that'll work out for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's one thing
and
that...
It also gives you also time to work on SummerSlam if you're trying to push through Backlash and all that
stuff. Well, SummerSlam won't get pushed, but okay. This will definitely put a damper on a lot of the plans that they had if they had to push it down.
Because if you do Memorial Day weekend, you still have all of June and all of July to build to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, so just definitely, like, you know, you can hear all of us saying support indie wrestling if you have a way to. Elias, definitely. Close us out, Elias.
Yeah, no, but either way, thank you for joining us. Follow us on Facebook at Who Can Rest Podcast, on Instagram, Who Can Rest Podcast. We will be doing a name change this week, so we'll let y'all know our new show name. Make it a little bit more open for everybody to join us. So either way, from everybody here at Who Can Rest Podcast, we are out. Peace.